Although the U.S. illegal sanctions have stymied Iran's forward movement in the fields of gas and oil and relevant technologies, knowledge-based companies have tried to modernize technologies via employing internal potentials of bright youths of various scientific spheres. New technologies in the fields of polymer, additives and new substances, and also application of advanced technologies in wells, digital and artificial intellects have provided the grounds for modernization of oil industry, decrease of expenses, and increase of efficiency. Over 700 knowledge-based companies are active in the field of oil and gas to update the field.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. I am Asma. I have the pleasure to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Sister Bita and Brother Muzaffar. Both of you, welcome to Back to Reality.
Assalamu alaikum. My pleasure to be here.
Of course, the pleasure is all in here. Brother Muzaffar, shall we start with you? Please introduce yourself briefly, very much, what you study and...
I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK. I've studied English literature and now I'm in the Hawza, in the Islamic Seminary.
That's very good. It's a pleasure to have you in here and wish you luck with your studies. You, Sister Bita.
Yes, I'm at your service. I'm Bita and I study medicine at one of the University of Tehran in Iran.
So there is this beautiful poem that says, "Did not go gentle into that good day."
Ah, you've seen Interstellar.
Into that good night.
Has anybody seen Interstellar, the movie?
No, for sure. Yeah, I wanted to watch that.
Yeah, it's a cool poem.
Yes, of course. It is very nice. And it is about the poet talking about the death of his father.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, that's nice because of that. Because you can just sympathize with the poet. To the night that is going to happen to every single one and every single human being is going to experience that. Do you think there is a special age for death?
A special age for death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on how you want to see it, from which perspective are you asking this question. I mean, you mean that if we would be able to choose an appropriate age for death, what age would we choose? You know, this is a question.
Is there any possibility for that?
No.
To say that, for example.
There is not. But
to be 7 years old, it's not the good age to die. And then to be 70 years old, that means it's good for you to die.
And, you know, I always wanted to die when I become so old that I cannot do my daily things, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, walking and eating and so
when
on.
When you have terrible doing your activities.
Yeah. And when I come to this actually line of not being able to do my daily things, I want to die. Seriously. It's a
horrible, horrible thought.
No, it is better.
So unfortunately, we can be young and still not being able to do our daily
activities.
It
doesn't matter. Even at that moment, I choose death.
So you think, according to you, when you are disabled...
Exactly.
Where you're no longer qualified to leave, then you have to leave.
I don't want to be dependent on other people.
Yeah, that's very true. Me
it's
too.
A pain in the neck.
Same in here.
Old age is scary.
Yeah, and you, brother...
I don't think there's a specific age, but I think that once you've done and accomplished your purpose in this world, you're ready to go. Yeah, you're ready to go. And that could be at any age, really. It could technically be
at 7. But I guess
there
is no age that you would feel that I am fully accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because we're going to face perfectionism here.
Yeah.
You know, there is no end for that purpose. There is no end for that goal.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, I came across this really fascinating hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam where he said, I would not like to die as a child before I have recognized my creator.
Wow, yeah. Wow.
So I think the real, because when we talk about accomplishing ourselves in this world, we think of all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. You're a medical student, you're thinking of becoming the best doctor in the world. Your English literature, you're thinking about becoming the world famous professor. Inshallah, you do accomplish your dreams. But really the hadaf is through whatever Allah has given us and bestowed upon us of our skills to actually recognize Him.
Of course, you know, yeah. But even in that point, I would tell you that a scholar who studies theology would never say that I am perfect now in whatever I'm doing. He also would say that right now I have an understanding of Allah. But then, you see what happens when you go to holy shrines. When I go to holy shrines, for example, at the age of 20, I have one feeling. And when I go there at the age of 30, I have another feeling. You know what I mean? When I was a teenager, I had another feeling. So every time I say that, day by day, I would go more mature in my knowledge of Allah, in the way I understand Him. So even in that case, I guess there would there wouldn't be a day that I would say, okay, now I know enough so I can leave. I can leave the game.
What? I don't know. Doesn't it depend? Some people will have such a vast amount of intellect that they can arrive at those conclusions way faster than the rest of us. No? There's some people who are really young, but Allah has for some reason given them such experiences in their lives that they've just recognized so much more of the truth than others.
Yeah, before I talk about that, I would say let's go for a short break and then I would have something to say in here. So this is Back to Reality and we're talking about death, which is tragic, but it happens in everyone's life, fortunately or unfortunately. I don't know.
Sometimes it's fortunate. Actually, I have to throw this at you now. There was this civilization and they asked their prophet to pray to God to allow them to live forever. And so they live forever. This civilization, they just live forever. The grandparents would have grandparents.
Yeah.
And those grandparents would have great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. And then they were just generations looking. And then the younger ones, they would be looking after like several generations of their elders.
Yeah.
Until they got sick and tired of it. And they say to their prophet, could you please pray to Allah to give us death back?
Yeah.
And so Allah gave them death back and they started to die again.
Because they had a lot of sicknesses. They were disabled just what Sister Bita was talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess eternity is good if you are going to stay young forever.
That's a different thing.
See?
Yeah.
Eternity with old age is not going to work. Mm. They're not compatible.
You have somebody like Khizr alayhi salam. Yeah. Prophet Khizr alayhi salam. You know, he's just going to live forever.
Mm-hmm. So now that is not for today's discussion. We're not going to focus on that point of eternity because if we're going to open that box of worm, then it's going.
No. I didn't say eternity. I said forever.
You said the what was that? The fountain of youth?
Fountain of eternal youth, but
eternal
it just
youth,
means you're going to live forever in this world, obviously, on the
that
day of judgment.
That very simple phrase would have a lot of debate coming after it, you know? The fountain of eternal youth.
That's what it's translated to in English. It's like this big legend.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I think it comes back to the urge of being eternal. Mm-hmm. You know, we're human beings and we have the urge and desire to be eternal.
Yeah.
And because of that, being ready for death is something really difficult, in my opinion.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you grow older and older, this greeting in yourself is becoming stronger and stronger.
Yeah. And of course, it depends on your personality and how you lived and your perspective.
You know, but you can see that the young generation is more ready.
Yeah.
I don't know, to it's somehow Korean.
To leave it.
Exactly. To be died.
Yeah, yes.
We are ready to die.
The whole world.
But when you go through, I don't know, the old generation, you can see that they have more attachment to this
world. Now, just Brother Muzaffar, before the break, you mentioned something that is very nice. I have also seen such things, you know. Even among the ordinary people, you said that even in a young age, you can reach that recognition, that the connection between you and your Lord.
I'm thinking about Imam Zaman or Nabi Isa alayhi salam.
Yeah.
You know, he was a baby in the cradle and he could yeah. recognize Allah. So
still, we have some examples, I guess, around us, like every single one has. There are some youngsters who are so mature, so understanding, so caring. When you look at them, you just feel like they have this peace in their soul and they have this deep connection with Allah. And they are ready to leave everything at any moment.
Subhanallah.
You see, they have reached that much of maturity.
Yeah.
So you agree, Sister Rita, right?
Yeah, I do agree with that because I've seen a lot of people like that, or myself, because I'm from the youth generation myself. You know, it feels like they are older than the number
their
of
age.
Their age.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a number actually means nothing here.
It's the creation of human beings,
and
like
mostly,
time.
You know, these group of people are the group of people who think about this world, the creation, God, and so on. I think this thinking is the key to achieve that maturity
exactly.
in young ages.
Yeah, without even having too much of experiences, I think the way they think and their perspective brings them close to their Lord, and then they create that peaceful person that when you look at them, even from the window of their eyes, you can see their hearts.
You know, they ask their questions. That's it. You know, when you have more doubt, you will find the strong belief in something too.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the creed, how beliefs are created. So let's go listen to something and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
We're talking about death, and I guess this is the final part. We came to the conclusion that age does not matter. Death can get anyone, and some people, even in their youth, could be so much accomplished in their religion, in their maturity, in whatever, that they are ready to just leave this world.
Yeah, and right you are. Everybody is going to die. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul will taste of death. I think it's just about what you manage to accomplish before you go. And it's not about material accomplishments, guys. It's about really about that awareness that you manage to build within yourself before we go. That's what's really important.
You know what's so so much more depressing? The fact that in this materialistic world, we are so much, I don't say attracted, we have to, because sometimes you have to follow a job in order to have money, in order to just to go for your responsibilities that you have, be it kids, be it parents or family or whatever. There are a lot of responsibilities that every single person in this world have. So we are just forced to go for unnecessary things in a way that we would forget the main purpose of our life.
Yeah. We were created to live forever. And I think people forget that. And that's the main point. We were actually created as eternal souls. Like Imam Ali alayhi salam says, you know, you were created for eternity. You were created for Jannah. That's your purpose. Don't sell yourself for anything less.
Exactly.
And there is another thing here, Sister Asma, that, you know, we have to go for that self-satisfaction in anything. You know, it doesn't matter that you have to work because of the money, because of the responsibilities you have, because of your family, because you have to feed them or something. It doesn't matter what is the goal of what you're doing now. You can find self-satisfaction in that.
You know, sometimes, because I have seen it, I'm saying, based on examples, I'm just talking to you. Sometimes there are some people who wouldn't love to be so much engaged in different jobs throughout a day, but they have to. Because economically, they need that much of money that they would get out of three jobs, for example. So in this way, that person, when they get home, they're just like corpse.
You know, let me tell you
something. What I mean? They don't have time for praying. They don't have time to think about life, the purpose of life, what I am going to accomplish in this world.
I know what you mean, but let me tell you something. You know, my mother is always like that. For example, when she sees some poor people or something, she's like, okay, oh my gosh, I pity them and so on. I want to help them. And I'm like, okay, I know they are pitiful. I know we have to sympathize with them. But the problem is that they can be whatever they want. If they are at this level of life, this is their problem. You know, I know there are obstacles.
I guess this is very cruel.
You have to have the will to change your life.
Yes, I do believe that 50% is in your hand, but there is this 50% that is out of your control.
You know what?
And situation sometimes puts you in a pressure that you cannot find a way out of it.
They don't try for
it has been imposed to you.
You know, because of the other 50%, they don't try for these 50% they have. At least they can try. You know,
there are different perspectives. You know, there are different perspectives. The whole idea of this episode actually is just talking about death. I don't want to get into that topic because poverty and then why people are just like that is an entirely another story to go for. But now, since we're just talking about death, if I want to just wrap it up and just say the moral of today's episode, I would say that death would come to every single one of us. We're living this morning. Maybe I wouldn't see the night even today. That's why they advise us to go and visit the cemeteries.
Yeah, it's very important. It changes your perspective.
Yeah,
right? When you know that this is going to end.
Yeah, that's very true.
Imam Ali alayhi salam says that every breath you take is a step towards death.
Exactly, yeah. Now, that's all the time that we had for today's episode. Until another episode, I bid you farewell. May Allah shower you with His blessings. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the Ummah rise again let us see daylight again once again
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said.
Contrary to Washington's claims, America's.
President Raisi has emphasized that.
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
In this day and age, the concept of war and its patterns are constantly evolving. Currently, with the emergence of virtual environments, social media, and complex networked societies, new patterns of modern warfare are emerging. However, the Islamic Republic of Iran has always been the target of all kinds of Western attacks. Accordingly, in the last few months, hybrid warfare as one of the modern models of war was unsuccessfully utilized against the Islamic Republic and the Iranian nation. In response, on several occasions, people have turned out en masse in rallies across Iran in order to call out the resounding defeat of U.S.-Israeli seditious plots during recent riots in the country. These demonstrations in Iran are indicative of the nation's unified resistance and indefatigable fight against global arrogance, which is also consistent with what's taking place globally, as many nations are throwing off the shackles of U.S. hegemony and the geography of arrogance in the world is waning day by day. Nevertheless, the message falls on deaf ears in Washington, Tel Aviv, and certain European countries. America's never-ending plots against Iran appear to be nowhere near its conclusion. As the world welcomed the arrival of 2023 with firework displays and celebration ceremonies, there was special news about a new plot in the never-ending schemes of the United States against the Iranian nation. A series of social media posts on New Year's Eve announced the formation of an unofficial Iran opposition coalition that consisted of key public figures and so-called civil society activists outside of Iran with the intent to overthrow the revolutionary government in Iran. To take a closer look at this scenario, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. We'll be right back. The social media post revealing the formation of the new opposition group on the New Year's Eve was shared by an unofficial Iran opposition coalition that consisted of former Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, journalist Masih Alinejad, lawyer Shirin Ebadi, actress Nazanin Bonyadi, actress Gulshifte Farahani, former football player Ali Karimi, lawyer Hamid Ismailiyun, and was later followed by the Secretary General of the Separatist Kurdistan Komele Party, Abdullah Muhtadi, and some other individuals.
One of the problems that the enemies of Iran face outside the country, and they have not been able to solve, is finding a leader for riots in Iran. And so far, they have resorted to many people. From inside, they pushed, for example, Ali Dai, the famous Iranian soccer player, but he refused to take action and said that I'm not a politician. Then they turned to Ali Karimi, another Iranian soccer player, but it seems that he couldn't do much. There was a person who had lost his family in the Ukrainian plane crash. They even made a documentary with that person and spread lies against the Iranian government, but to no avail. And then they realized that this leader would be better if she is a woman.
The mainstream media has described the formation of this coalition as an important step forward to grant the million-strong Iranian diaspora a unified and thus more effective voice to increase pressure on the Islamic Republic to further isolate it. In other words, as a way to support the hybrid warfare against Iran.
The capitalist system no longer deals with Iran with cannons and tanks because it has the experience of Iraq-Iran 8-year war. They know well that war cannot break the Iranian nation, and on the other hand, Iran has a powerful military force and equipment. As a result, they must penetrate through the media. They buy a pen and paper with the money they wanted to spend on war, weapons, and produce fake news.
Yet the coalition's impact on domestic dynamics, especially on issues relevant to the recent unrest, is unclear. In particular, the challenge regarding a heavier involvement of the working class, whose participation in different sectors of the society is significant. If their support is attained, it could help break the country's economic lifelines. But the mentioned coalition so far does not include voices that are seen as representing the interests of Iran's working classes, although this does not mean that the coalition members have not used sympathetic slogans towards them in the past.
Look at the main slogans of these protesters: women, life, freedom. Two of these slogans are not even political. Well, women as a slogan is related to the center of the family, and life pertains to economy. Economics is not political at all. If these first two slogans are dealt with, no one will have a problem with the authorities of the Iranian government. But what we see here and there is, unfortunately, the riots is so outrageous. For example, insulting religions is a prohibition and is not even an accepted principle in France.
For example, in Britain or France, when there is a demonstration, as soon as it turns violent, how the police treat them. Even the President of France or the Prime Minister of Britain believe and announce that they need to give more power to the police department because the safety of the streets of Paris and London is a priority. After all this, the next priority is to deal with the demands of the protesters. In our country and in the recent events, the people's demands were not raised at all. It was violence and action against national security and the government.
According to American government officials, such an integration is especially crucial, since some labor activists have stated that, hypothetically speaking, their interests might not be necessarily guaranteed by an exiled opposition group that may tend to neglect issues of class based on their own social status and, in the worst case, abandon them in any post-Islamic Republic system. In light of such potential shortcomings about the initial composition of the group, outright condemnation of it as a neoliberal or even right-wing political project from independent figures in the political arena is likely to be emerging fast. Moreover, according to sociopolitical experts, a program that is attempting to guarantee not only political but also future economic fortunes of the country and determine strategies for Iran's supposed regime change ideally needs to be coordinated and drafted by social forces inside Iran. because legitimacy primarily emanates from the people inside Iran and not from the diaspora, albeit the latter is not seen as insignificant. Otherwise, this attempt, like the ones before it, will not take a significant step forward.
Establishing the Iran International is another step. This high-cost media outlet started operating in 2017 after many meetings between Israeli and British politicians, and finally, they came to the conclusion that one of the ways to defeat the Islamic Republic of Iran is to establish a network alongside other networks with different purposes and methods. They believed that BBC Persian was not enough, and to fulfill their hybrid warfare against Iran, the establishment of this terrorist news channel was a need.
Going by the model of the recent hybrid warfare designed by the Western intelligence organizations, the targeted forces inside Iran would ideally include representatives from the three major components of Iranian civil society, namely the women, labor, and student movements, but also the youth and ethnic groups, as well as professional associations such as those of teachers, bus drivers, truck drivers, lawyers, doctors, and so forth.
Basically, in the profession of journalism and reporting, the media must be independent. Iran International is not independent. It is affiliated to Saudi Arabia and follows the politics of its kingdom. Its actions are miles away from the profession of journalism. They officially spread lies against Iran, and I believe that this will make it gradually lose its audience.
On New Year's Day, a day after the coalition had announced its existence, Saudi-financed London-based media outlet Iran International, also known as Saudi International within the media circles, invited some of its members, namely Mohtadi, Ali Nejad, Ismail Youn, and Ebadi, to comment and offer reflections about the coalition and its purpose. First, they acknowledged their failure in omitting the protest's main slogan, Woman, Life, Freedom, in their initial announcement on New Year's Eve. In addition, among other things, they reflected on the need to be open and responsive to harsh criticism that is voiced against the coalition and its work, so that historical mistakes aren't repeated when Iranian political entities may not have offered such open spaces for constructive criticism. Moreover, they stated that the coalition has no desire to assume power in Iran, but wants to work toward abolishing the Islamic Republic by peaceful means and creating a democratic future for the multifaceted mosaic of the Iranian nation. Listening to these statements brings back memories of recent remarks by the former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, who said the perspective of the systematic effort of the subversive groups is not only to protest, but to use coercive force against the Iranian government to convey the message that it is no longer unarmed.
Where are these media outlets based? Well, most of them are stationed in London, a city which is known for its Ofcom rules and regulations. This regulatory entity has strict rules in the field of media broadcasting and severely punishes any media that promotes violence and encourages terrorism. Punishments have been considered for all of these. But we need to ask this question loud so that everyone hears it. Why this Saudi-funded terrorist media, that is the International, is never punished, or even BBC Persian? They clearly invite guests who teach how to make Molotov cocktails and how to attack security forces of Iran.
In an interview with London-based BBC Persian TV channel, Bolton, who is notorious for his hawkish stances, said the so-called Iranian opposition is arming protesters with weapons smuggled from Iraq's Kurdistan, adding that he had seen images of these forces trained and armed in Iraq's Kurdistan region and expressed hope that the ongoing unrest in Iran would lead to regime change.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Here's how it looks on the page. Reuters reads, Saudi woman gets 45-year prison term for social media post, rights group says. A Saudi Arabian court has sentenced a woman to 45 years in prison for social media posts, a rights group said, in the latest example of a crackdown on women activists that followed a visit by U.S. President Joe Biden to the kingdom. Noura bint Said al-Qahtani was convicted likely within last week by the Saudi Specialized Criminal Court on charges of using the internet to tear the Saudi social fabric and violating public order by using social media, Washington-based Dawn organization said in a statement citing court documents. Dawn said little was known about Qahtani or what her social media posts said and that it was continuing to investigate her case. Qahtani's conviction came a few weeks after Salma al-Shahab, a mother of two and doctoral candidate at the University of Leeds in Britain, was sentenced to 35 years in jail for following and retweeting dissidents and activists on Twitter. The Biden administration said last week it had raised significant concerns with Saudi Arabia over Shahab's sentencing, which included a 34-year travel ban for her tweets. Tensions over oil-rich Saudi Arabia's human rights record have strained its ties with the United States, including over women's rights and the 2018 murder and dismemberment of journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Tehran Times reads, Saudi money for anti-Iran terror channel and demonstrations in the Netherlands. The controversial anti-Iran satellite channel Ahwazuna TV in Ryswick has been financed with money from the Saudi intelligence service. The Saudis were also billed for demonstrations by the separatist movement ASMLA. The financing of the TV channel and at least one demonstration in The Hague is apparent from research by Dutch investigative program Argos, the Danish public broadcaster DR, and the Norwegian NRK. The Denmark-based leadership of the Arab-Iranian movement ASMLA requested and received large sums through the Saudi intelligence service for its organization in Europe and its armed branch in Iran. The Arab Struggle Movement for the Liberation of Ahvaz resorts to violence in the Iranian region of Khuzestan for independence. ASMLA also organized demonstrations in Europe against Iran and for the separation of Ahvaz. For this, the ASMLA leadership also requested funding from Saudi Arabia and a budget was drawn up. Money was needed for plane tickets, hotels, buses, and allowances for journalists. Refugees from asylum seekers centers also had to be paid to participate. That would have cost 60 euros per person. Arab news channels were promised to report. Police documents mention an amount of 400,000 euros, including 190,000 euros for demonstrations in The Hague and 80,000 for a demonstration in Copenhagen. The communication dates from late 2014 and early 2015. In 2015, there were manifestations of ASMLA in Copenhagen and Brussels, among others, and in 2016 at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. America's superficial use of women's status in its recent hybrid warfare against Tehran hasn't been limited to just slogans such as woman, life, freedom. The Biden administration has also been busy popping up new model activist characters almost daily. One of these made-for-Iranian teenage girls to follow characters is Ms. Nazanin Bonyadi.
Iran's opposition groups and enemies have no choice but to find a leader that is popular among the Iranian nation. Since there is no one, however, they sometimes go to Reza Pahlavi, the corrupt son of the Shah of Iran. Sometimes they resort to the MKO terrorist groups or other terrorists, such as al-Ahwazi leaders, who have carried out thousands of assassinations in Iran, and their names have been on the list of terrorists for years. When there is no one around, they try to make one. For example, this time they found a young, attractive woman, made her famous by setting up visits with American high-ranking officials, a woman named Nazanin Bonyadi. But the point is that this lady was born in Tehran and left Iran while she was a 20-day baby.
Someone who has not been to Iran and has not lived in Iran,
how much information and experience can he or she have? If you want to be a riots leader, be it, but you need to have experience about the living conditions in Iran and the ups and downs of life in it. Nazanin Bunyadin gets all the information from people around her. She has no field experience and can never make a correct decision and judgment about the situation of women in Iran and the conditions of life and the government. This is one of the big and serious criticisms that are directed at her.
As part of a theatrical showmanship, the U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan have met with Nazanin Bunyadi, among others, in the past to promote women's uprising in Iran. Naz, as she is called in the U.S., was born a couple of years after the victory of the Iranian Revolution. Less than a month after her birth, she and her parents left Iran, and before becoming an actress in 2006, she appeared as a music video dancer. At one point in her acting career, she co-starred as CIA analyst Farah Shirazi on seasons 3 and 4 of the drama series Homeland.
The people of Iran got to know her for the first time when she supported the U.S. sanctions against Iran. It was a very unpleasant interview. She mentioned the patients who have chemotherapy but die because they can't have access to their medicine due to U.S. sanctions. It was appalling. Her comments were widely circulated among Iranian social media users, and everyone lambasted her views and her disregard for the ordinary people of Iran, who are the main target in this war of sanctions.
In the mid-2000s, she became a dedicated Scientologist, which is a contemporary religion or cult, born in the U.S. during the 1950s and led anonymously by CIA. In late 2004 to early 2005, she had a brief relationship with actor Tom Cruise, which is what she's most famous for. According to claims in a documentary, her acquaintance with Cruise was not accidental, and the Church of Scientology prepared and contractually planted her for this role as Cruise's hired girlfriend. She had to sign a confidentiality agreement stating she could not abandon this special project without the church's approval. After their relationship ended in January 2005, Bunyadi confessed her devastation to a friend and fellow church member. She was punished for this according to church policies. She had to dig ditches at midnight and scrub bathroom floor tiles, etc. She also testified that she felt as if she was a victim of white slavery because she traveled across state lines under false pretenses. The hacked emails of this so-called political activist showed that she had a significant relationship with the American intelligence agency CIA. In these emails, Nazanin Bunyadi exchanged ideas with the CIA about her actions to fight against Iran. Ray Takei, who is known for his antagonism against Iran in the U.S. security apparatus, exchanges emails with Nazanin and even invites her to the University of Chicago on behalf of the CIA. In another email, Nazanin asks Mazyar Behari, the editor of the anti-Iranian new website Iran Wire, a question, in response to which Mazyar Behari mentions that Bin Salman directly provides financial support to the Iran International Terrorist Television.
Nazanin Bunyadi is an Iranian born.
To make a long story short, she is now an American, British, Iranian citizen who has dedicated her life under false pretenses to overthrow the Iranian government and, in the presence, lead Iranian women to freedom. Speaking of false pretenses, media reports are indicating that Mohammed bin Salman is pretending that he is interested in the freedom of Iranian women, and therefore the Saudi establishment has committed itself to cover the finances for this so-called Iranian opposition coalition. In reality, isn't it hard to think of women's freedom while the Saudi regime prosecutes women as terrorists for so much as dabbling in politics or executes people for a simple tweet?
که به نظر میرسه که به ویژه بعد از انقلاب
It seems that especially after the Islamic Revolution, a fierce competition has developed between Iran and Saudi Arabia in establishing the balance of power in the region. This is actually what benefits the West the most. That is, they always try to create a balance of power between these two countries, and they welcome this competition, and they like to see hostility between them, especially from Saudi Arabia, and especially through media platforms in a soft way. This has a historical record.
In Saudi Arabia, women face systematic discrimination and are left exposed to domestic violence and have few places to turn when they face abuse, leading some women to undertake dangerous escape attempts to flee the country.
Saudi Arabia does not have a good record in the field of human rights, both women's rights and people's rights. Really, in this country, everyone's rights are violated, and as you mentioned, women's rights are more. Women are treated like in the Middle Ages. They were not allowed to drive until recently. There is polygamy in Saudi Arabia. Assaulting women and attacking women and beating them is common among Arabs of that country. They cast degrading looks on women.
It's absurd that the crown prince of such a country is funding the opposition group in Iran, whose motto is Woman, Life, Freedom.
Since the Islamic Revolution in 1979, Saudi Arabia has not had a good approach towards Iran, and that is because of the existence of Wahhabi thinking in this country, and also because it sees Iran as an obstacle for leading the world of Islam. And they felt that the Islamic Republic of Iran may overshadow them in the Islamic world with the Islamic Revolution.
Here, you might want to know about some of the code of ethics which journalists worldwide are required to comply. However, when it comes to Iran, they forget their professional principles. Seek truth and report it. This includes fact-checking, not intentionally distorting information, identifying sources, avoiding stereotypes, and supporting the open exchange of opinions. Minimize harm. This includes demonstrating compassion for sources and subjects of stories and protecting the privacy of individuals. Act independently. This includes avoiding conflicts of interest and corruption and resisting the attempts of advertisers and special interest groups to influence the news. Be accountable. This includes correcting mistakes, inviting criticism, and exposing unethical practices of the media.
If you post General Soleimani's photos on your page, you will immediately receive a warning from your platform. Facebook has warned me 4 times for this reason and finally shut down my accounts. On the other hand, the Iran International, or rather say, the terrorist Saudi International Channel, or Iran Wire, or Independent, or others, easily teach violence or techniques of riots and revolution through their platform, but no one stops them. Iran International has violated journalism codes of ethics many times. They have even invited a gay group and gave them a stage to show their support for the riots in Iran. It is hilarious that these gay people even announced that homosexuality should exist in the future of Iran.
Speaking of psychological campaign and misrepresentation of facts, after the Iranian judiciary announced that Akbari, a former Iranian deputy defense minister, was sentenced to death and executed on charges of corruption on earth, threatening social and political well-being, and extensive actions against the country's internal and external security through espionage for the British government's intelligence agency, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak criticized Tehran for its alleged violations of human rights without acknowledging the fact that Akbari had in fact provided covert services for MI6. That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا. أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters dear listeners welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem a series of Quranic sessions held by IREB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School. So, today I'm really happy to inform you that again, alhamdulillah, we have some of the students of Sevier International School here with us in this Quranic session. Inshallah, we'll be here with you with another Quranic session. Before we start, I really say salam from the depth of my heart to all our brothers here, and I really welcome you all. Salam, how are you? Fine, Fawad?
Yes, sir.
Hussein, Hassan?
Yes, sir.
Fine?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
Today, Fawad, Hassan and Hussein Brothers, we will have the same session as our previous ones. We'll have one of the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, one of the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 261 today, okay? And we'll have a short explanation, then we'll go to Tajweed rules. Important ones, inshallah, we'll mention in this session. So, Hassan, Hussein, Fawad, ready to listen to the recitation?
Yes.
Brothers
yes.
and sisters, let's everyone once again listen. Brothers and sisters, Let's everyone listen to the recitation once.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم
That was nice. Hassan, I will read once, okay? Make sure you listen with Fawad, with Hussein, and repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
We want our brothers and sisters as well, yes? To yes. listen and practice.
Yes.
Okay? So good. Hussein, ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة
مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة
أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة
كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة
والله يضاعف لمن يشاء
والله يضاعف لمن يشاء
والله واسع عليم
والله واسع عليم
أحسنتم The parallel of those who spent their wealth in the way of Allah Almighty. The example of those who spent their wealth in the way of Allah Almighty. What is their example? What is this work like, okay? It is that of a grain, a seed, okay? A seed which grows 7 years, which grows in 7 branches, okay? 7 branches. Look, you plant a seed, right? And it grows with 7 branches, for example. في كل سنبلة مئة حبة. And every ear and every branch, you got what? 100 seeds. Okay? 100 seeds. So what happens then? Allah Almighty also enhances, increases severalfold whomever He wishes. To whomever Allah Almighty wishes, He will again extend, He will again increase the number of the seeds. Allah Almighty is giving an example, okay? Look, giving an example. If you, for example, there is an important point I want to tell you. Sometimes, Hussein, sometimes we might think that, oh, if I give, for example, you're walking on the street, okay? A poor person crosses by you, okay? And he's begging, for example, for 10,000 thumar or for any much, okay? And you might think, oh God, if I give this 10,000 thumar, I will lose my money. I don't have enough money. So if I give it to him, my wealth will be a little bit decreased. You might think like this, okay? Yeah? But Allah Almighty says, no, don't think this way. If you give this 10,000 thumar, for example, you really don't need it. You have enough, okay? If you give this money to him, what it is like you grow a seed. You plant a seed, okay? A seed. Then in for this seed, okay, has 7 branches.
Question, means if the money is enough, then?
Uh-huh. If you have enough money, if you really need it, don't do it, okay? You need it. You're prior than others. So first you, then others, okay? So you're prior. I mean, because you need it. So if you don't need it, it means you can solve your problems with some other money, okay? You have enough money, so yeah, donate it, okay? So if you donated this, it is as if you planted a seed which has 7 branches, and on every 7 branch, you have hundreds of seeds. So don't think that the 10,000 tuman that you donate right now, it has no influence, except, for example, you become poor, more poor or poorer, okay? No, it isn't. It's just the opposite. You get more rich. You get richer. Okay? You get richer. It is. The problem is this, that we don't really see it. We don't really see the effects. We can't see the effect. If you see the effects, if you think about it, what happened? How did you get a lot of money after that? You might think, oh, this is not because of that 10,000 tuman I donated. Actually, it's because of that. It's not always money that you get back. You got respect. You got, for example, love from your family. You got good times. You spent best times with your friends. Bad things do not happen to you. You do not have a car accident anymore. You do not get ill soon, okay? Even if it's, for example, coronavirus, you do not get ill. These are all the effect, the influences, the results of those donations. Make sure, guys, okay? It's very important. So this is a good example Allah Almighty makes it. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Their mithal, their example is the example of this seed. Don't think that it's just for nothing. You just lose your money. No. You actually get money. All right? This is a good example. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah Almighty will also increase, okay? For those who want, whom Allah Almighty wishes. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ Allah Almighty is the all-bounteous, the all-knowing. He has the power. He has this power to increase your wealth. Make sure, inshallah, you refer to the Tafasir book. There are a lot of things about infaq. A lot of things about this ayah, inshallah, you'll learn. هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran. All right, Fawad, Hassan al-Hussein, I hope, inshallah, we have understood something well from this ayah. Now, the tajweed rules, which are very important here, I will mention. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ. The first important point Hussein will say, of course, that is the pronunciation of the letters.
Tha
and?
Tha.
Thal and? Till the end of this ayah, what letters are important?
Qaf.
Tha, thal, qaf, ha.
Hamza.
Hamza, a sound, yes?
Yes.
Next one? Ha. Uh-huh. Ayn, a, sab'a.
Yes.
Next one? Yeah. Dod. Dod. Next one?
Ayn.
Ayn, I said, yeah. So these letters are very important. They might be a bit difficult, so practice them well. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ يُنْفِقُونَ. Make sure, wherever you see a noon sakin or a tanween, you got to make sure there is a rule applied, okay? You got to make sure you read it correctly. يُنْفِقُونَ. Yeah, we have a noon sakin. Hassan, what's the next letter after noon sakin?
Letter fi.
Fa. So the letter fa is from the rest of the letters. And the rule is?
إخفى.
إخفى. Hide the sound of the noon. يُنْفِقُونَ. Produce the sound from your nose, nasal sound. يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There is no difficult rule. كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ تَنْوِين plus Hamza. Here. How the rule? The rule? إِظْهَار is applied, which means do not change anything. Just read and pronounce the تَنْوِين sound correctly. حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ. Aha. Nun sakin here. You see a baby meme on the top, right, Hussein?
Yes.
أَنْبَتَتْ. Nun sakin plus ba. That's because of the letter ba. The word أَنْبَتَتْ has a nun sakin plus ba. So the rule?
إِقْلَاب.
إِقْلَاب, which means change the sound of the nun into?
Meme.
A hidden meme, a half meme. So أَنْبَتَتْ. Hussein, read it. أَنْبَتَتْ.
أنبتت.
أحسنت. سبع سنابيل. فواد. سبع. با ساكين. Is there any rule? Of course.
قلقلة.
قلقلة. Echoing sound. سبع سنابيل. في كل سنبلة. سنبلة. Again, نون ساكين plus با.
إقلاب.
إقلاب. سنبلة. أها. سنبلة. إدغام with meme. سنبلة مئة. حبة. We stop. والله يضاع يضاعف heavy sound يضاعف لمن يشاء إدغام لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم واسع تنوين plus عين إظهار. Don't change, just produce the sound of تنوين correctly. Guys, Alhamdulillah, we finished the important tajweed rules in this ayah as well. We mentioned and we learned a good point from this ayah. Make sure you refer to the Tafasir book for more information and explanation. See you inshallah in the coming session. Now, guys, if there is no question, we'll end this session.
No questions.
Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. Please stay with IRB English Radio in the coming sessions. Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, thank you so much for being with us in this session. And thanks to IRB English Radio, thanks to Sevier International Schools Network. We'll be here with you inshallah in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajah.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
This is IRIB English Radio.